Hallelujah. We worship
Jesus.
Know that I am the God of the impossible. And before this next year is over, many of you that are standing in places of faith will see the impossible come to a place of possibility, saith the Spirit of the Lord. It will cost you nothing but provide for you all things to stand in faith. It costs you nothing in this, that if you place yourself out there and put all weight on the Word, you'll find at the end that you are not ashamed, that you trusted in me, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! As many of the patriarchs, even in modern era, that went before you and saw my hand in the miraculous and looked into things as the meticulousness of how that I changed the physical and how that I brought miracles into the body, and they studied those things in the Word and they studied those things in science to the point that they depended upon me and believe that every time that they laid their hands upon people and prayed, things would happen. You will see in these days those kinds of changes take place. You will see gradual changes, and you'll see instantaneous changes. But all of them will be from me, saith the Spirit of the Lord. And you will know that you have entered into an era and time in the church in which those who seek my faith in truth and in holiness will once again see the works of the apostles manifested, saith the Spirit of grace. Father, I worship you and I glorify you for this amazing love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you and I magnify you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you, Lord. I exalt you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I glorify you. I magnify you. I exalt you. I magnify you. Father, I worship you. I glorify you for this amazing love. The power of the new nature. I glorify you, Father. I thank you for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you personally and publicly for the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that it's been nearly 45 years ago that I walked to an altar at 376 Prospect Avenue, Tice, Florida. Charles E. Fussell, pastor, came, got me and brought me forward. Father, I want to thank you that I've served you these 45 years and never went into the world. The power of the new nature has kept me. The power of the new nature has kept me born again, serving you decade after decade after decade. I want to give you the praise. I want to give you the glory. I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you with all my heart for the power of the new nature and the Holy Ghost. I give you all the praise, Father. I give you all the praise. I worship you, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. I glorify you. I magnify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time, where would I be?
Jesus, worship you, Father. Jesus. Jesus, gotta be a
worship,
Jesus.
My chains are gone. I've been. been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, and I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace.
Hallelujah, Father, we love You, praise You, bless this day in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah, give somebody a great big hug this morning and tell them you're glad to see them. Glad they made it through the holidays. Hallelujah. Father, we worship You and we praise You for that time that is coming and everything that's in between for the nations, these 8 billion people that are on the planet Earth, the continual spread of Your gospel all around the world and the end time outpouring and revival. And Father, we thank You that the generation that is here will also be the generation that will expand that gospel. I pray, Father, that I am here on this planet, that I do not come in the clouds with You. I'm asking for that place of being changed. And Father, either way, I'll be thankful, but I want to be a part of the end time revival. It'll be enough for me to pass it to a generation and to give this foundation that was once here and once destroyed almost and then restored. Father, I thank You, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone that we build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. We take only the 66 books of this canon and we receive nothing else. We will not discuss anything else, will not consider anything else, will not contemplate anything else, will not have any concourse with anything else. We're very, 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 very dogmatic when it comes to what this word says. Opinions do not matter to us. Other books do not matter to us. Other men's experiences do not matter to us. Genesis through Revelation. It's all that matters to us. And we give You all the praise.
Hallelujah.
And we give You all the glory. And we give You all the thanksgiving. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's getting me worked up here. Getting Homer on the front row is not a good idea. Well, I'm glad to see all of you back. And we love you very much. We're glad you're here this morning. We see you did not eat yourself into total oblivion, but you had a good time, I'm sure, I hope. Praise the Lord. Next week, we will be back in our series of Being on the Wall, Are You on the Wall? It's a series that God gave us. I don't know how many messages will be in it. I think we were into it two. Next week will be the third, not this Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night. I think we'll start right back and have maybe a couple of more lessons in our series on Jezebel. And that has been an extended teaching that has been really, really good for us, all of us, to hear, myself included. And it's expanded our understanding in a lot of different areas. So we'll be back in those in the next couple of weeks. Let me tell you about this coming week. We're going to have two services this coming week. We'll have the traditional Wednesday night service that'll start at 7. And that's for everybody that cannot make it on Thursday or cannot sit up late enough on Thursday. We're going to have a Thursday service. We will have a Wednesday and a Thursday service. The Thursday night will be our watch night service. We traditionally have that. Both of those services throughout the week We'll continue to talk on vision and direction and where we're going. And part of that is this morning, as we'll begin to talk on preparing for 2016. And we're not just doing this because it's the cliche thing to do, but it's the thing that the Holy Spirit has placed in my heart, and I believe the eldership of the church as we're going forward in Christ. So we're looking at, this morning we'll be looking at preparing ourselves for 2016, and then the messages this week, Wednesday and Thursday. And Thursday we'll go into to even more detail on some specifics. Thursday we'll start at 8:30. We'll start the service then. We won't have pre-service worship. We'll just go into worship. I believe we'll have a time of waiting on the Lord and contemplation and journaling. Also a time of communion, and then you'll hear my comments as the Holy Spirit leads and guides me as to where some specifics that what we're looking for as a ministry in this year. There's going to be some changes, some good things. All things that the Lord does is good things. But we're looking at going to a higher place in Him. Amen. Starting January the 10th on a Sunday night will be our first calling in the lost service. We're changing from Friday nights we did have it at 7:30. We're going to start now. We're just going to do a total change. I had looked for years for another night, and someone asked me recently, they put a good bug in my ear and said, have you ever considered anything else? And I said, yeah, I have, but I hadn't thought about it in a long time. And I prayed about it this week. I really felt peace, direction. Friday nights is going to be freed up for you as a family. There will be things that you can do on Friday nights that you couldn't do before if you were faithful to Friday night. If not, just keep doing what you were doing. And, you know. Friday nights will be freed up. Our Sunday night service, and wisdom-wise, it makes more sense as well. Friday nights, people are beat if they're a hard-working person or they just have a job. And a lot of times they come in here on a Friday and they're really, really tired. So it'll be at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. That'll give us a double service on Sunday, but it'll start at 6. It'll get over promptly at 8 unless somebody wants to stay and pray. We won't keep you from prayer, but you can stay and pray. But we will not have pre-service worship. We'll just start at 6. We'll have worship, 20 to 30 minutes of worship, go into our confessions, and then turn you over to prayer after that. This will free up our Friday nights, as I said. It'll also give you time to rest a little bit over the weekend and then come back on a Sunday night and be a part of what we're doing. Let me encourage you to do something. When you come to church, bring this. I'm holding up a Bible. It's not outdated. You need to carry one. Even if you don't read it at home, please bring it to church. That was meant to be comical and sarcastic at the same time. Bring it to church, put it in your lap. Also, we're not against, most of the time you see me reading from the iPad. It's easier for me to read from. It's bolder letters. I can look at it. I can get to it pretty quick, all the scriptures. This does not take away from the sanctity of the Word of God. Bring your iPads, bring your cell phones, your smartphones. Take notes. You can take notes on your iPads or your smartphones, or just take notes. I encourage you to take notes with pen and paper, but take notes. And Monday morning or Monday afternoon or Monday evening or whenever you do your devotions, go over what was said during the past service. That's the best time to go over it. Otherwise, if you don't do something to preserve it, unless you just have an incredible memory or don't care, it's going to be stolen from you. It's going to be stolen. Most of the time, if I call you at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening and I say, you know, I would miss service. How was service? Oh, my God, it was unbelievable. It was fantastic. Really, yeah. Pastor Homer, he just had some things to say. Man, he blew us out of the water. Fantastic. What were they? Well, I really don't know, but it was good. It was really good. It's stolen from you. And then you got to go reback. You got to try to reboot, reaccount, figure out what was said. write it down. I encourage you to write it down. You're not going to be penalized if I don't see you writing, if I don't see you. Used to, this would intimidate me. I thought you were on your cell phone texting your girlfriend or boyfriend or your, you know, whatever. I'm not intimidated by this. If you see somebody, if Harry sees Alex texting Natalie, I would ask him to stand up right in the middle of the service and say, "We've got a rogue over here. He's out. He's not in the service, okay? He's on Walmart's website shopping or something." So, no, don't tell him. But take notes. Take notes. It's okay. It's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just pray. I know we prayed before, but let's just pray again. Father, we just worship you. Lord, we know we can't do anything of ourselves. But Lord, these are a precious bunch of people. And they're moving forward, and they're moving in, and they're moving towards a place called done, and a place called revival, and a place that we associate with our hearts, our minds, is what you really want in the last days, and what you are speaking not only to this house. It'd be a horrible thing to think that we were the only ones. But Lord, I just believe that you've seasoned this earth. You've seasoned it with salt all over. And that, Lord, there are people that are desperate for God, and there are people that want to hear your word, they want to hear truth, and they want to escape the flesh, and they want to live righteous and free and holy and prosperous in God. So we love you this morning. We thank you for all your goodness, and we bless and we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to challenge you this morning by the Holy Spirit, and just a list of things that we're going to go over, maybe not in entirety. There's always more that can be said, but just a number of things that we will cover. We're gonna talk to you about how to get out of spiritual laziness, right to start with, before 2016 ever starts. How to jumpstart yourself. Don't look for me to jumpstart you. You can jumpstart yourself. How to get out of spiritual laziness. I'd encourage you, do not make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to talk about that. There's a good side of that. I will talk to you about setting spiritual goals, setting physical goals, and setting financial goals. The salvation of your household, growing in the Word of God, and what makes it all work. Of course, you understand that, and we'll discuss that more, which is the spiritual core, the foundation, and then how to turn your lost over to God, and how to find that right approach, that a prayer that avails much, that really starts changing their life and really starts making a difference, and the reality of the necessity of that they do need to change. So we're going to talk about a lot of that this morning. This is the time of the year where, if you sit it all in front of your TV, you understand that there's more info commercials on weight loss than ever before. This is a time where more people go out and buy treadmills that they never use. They join gyms that they're faithful to in the month of January. In the 11 other months, they could have gifted that to somebody else that would have used it, because that's about it. There's acclamations made. There's resolutions made. Not all resolutions are bad. A New Year's resolution is something that somebody usually does publicly or known among their family, and they make a declaration. It's a declaration of a set goal of which they desire to be achieved. The problem with that is that goals are good. Visions are right. Desires to be achieved in the spirit, and that's where we'll go primarily, because that's the core. Because if you don't have the core, nothing else works. It really doesn't work. Or else a plastic facade. It's cheap in a certain sense. But declarations made out of the soul will only last a certain amount of time. That's why I always encourage people, don't go on diets. Don't let a diet be a verb, let it be a noun. You understand that? A noun is a person, place, or thing. Let it be something that you are. Don't start something that you can't live with the rest of your life. In other words, I can eat like this 2 years from now. I can eat like this 6 months from now. With occasional, you know, I'm not a dietitian. You know, I read journals and different things. And one of the worst things that you can do is starve yourself all the time. If you're a real skinny person in here, and I'm not going to look, because I don't want other people, you know, saying, well, he was looking at me saying, you're not skinny. If you're a real skinny person and you can't get, if your metabolism burns like a round the clock, you know, and you always wanted to gain weight, I can help you gain weight. How can you do that? I can put you on a fast. What? I can slow down your metabolism by putting you on a fast, depriving you of food, and put it in a place where a celery stick will help you gain a pound and a half. Your leptins they're a hormone, and I won't go into that. Maybe we'll go into that Thursday night. How that the more, now I don't want to scare you from fasting, but you can really gain some weight after a fast. I only say that to say this. Fasting can be wonderful, but I only say that to say this, that if you go on fads, if you go on depravity, in fact, one of the things I've understood for years, that one of these life coaches that are sports coaches, they almost demand that anybody that's on a regimental noun diet, where it's a lifestyle, and the lifestyle should be in everything, just like in spiritual things. It should be, you know, proteins, carbohydrates, and good fats. And if you deprive yourself of any of those things, don't get off in stupid fads, because you need proteins. Proteins is one of the best friends you'll ever have. You need good carbohydrates. You need good fats to live healthy. If you start depriving yourself of any of that trio, you're going down a wrong road. But besides for that, they tell people, look, regimental 6 days a week, but you need one day to just blow it. You need just one day of blowing it, enjoying yourself, and putting all those things back in your body. Homer says yes. not blowing it where you just, you know, can't move, but you need that ice cream day. You need that candy bar day. You need that, you know, glory. So people go on fads this time of year, and they don't last past February, because, you know, I've got to, what I try to personally, you can do what you like, but what I personally do is, if I'm going to start something, I've got to imagine myself, am I going to be doing this in June and July and August, September, you know, can I live like this? Can I live like this? And so if you can't live like that, don't start it, okay? That's me. Okay, that's wisdom, I believe. I really believe that's wisdom. The weight loss, the treadmills, and in other words, they're trying to get the soul. They're teaching. They want you to buy also these info commercials. They want you to buy fancy gadgets and gadgets that don't work. Now I can tell you this, and I am not, you know, I'm not a mister that has arrived. But I have, you know, worked out, run, lifted weights for years. Now, I can tell you, the only thing that works is work. When they tell you on those info commercials, and this is not about info commercial Sunday, when they tell you on those infomercials, buy this and for 20 minutes a day, for 3 days a week, you can look like this. Well, one, they've got this real handsome 20-year-old guy and this beautiful 20-year-old girl. You know, they're going to look that way no matter what. And they probably just before they made the commercial stepped on that treadmill or that stair step or whatever. They're lying to you. Only hard work in the natural works. Sweat. Hard work. And we live in such a society that everything's entitlement. Like, we look at people and say, I bet they got rich because it was handed to them. No. If you study and read, most people got rich if they weren't handed down to, because they worked their behind off. I just hate them because they got a metabolism. There are people that we should hate that has that kind of metabolism. They're a small minority. We can only hate a few people. They're 3 or 4%. Most people, if you listen, if you read about sports people, the guys that are on the field, they work hard. They're the best ones are in there before anybody else and out before anybody else. They work on their diets. They work on what they put in their mouth. And people look at them and say, they're trim and they're just blah, blah, blah. And no, they're that way because they work at it. They fight for it. They fight for it. And the only reason why I'm using all these natural examples is we're not becoming a body beautiful church. That's a crazy thing. You know, there's a spirit out there. I know that. But listen, if you believe, we'll turn this into the spirit realm. If you believe that you're just going to go someplace in God and do nothing, that's a lie. If you believe you're just going to vegetate, now you may feel like, I don't really feel like doing anything. But God can get you past that. I've felt spiritually lazy before. I've felt physically lazy before. I've felt mentally lazy before. Listen, this challenges, technology challenged people. Listen, even in the mental realm, don't get mentally lazy. Challenge yourself. Well, I'm just going to be spiritual and pray. Listen, what you know about one of these, you don't have to know a whole lot. But what you know about, it can really, I will say this, I bet you $1 billion that I don't have. I'll bet you that if Paul was alive today, he would have learned as much, he would have been still Paul the Apostle. He would have learned as much about this. I've challenged myself in the last year, and where I've gone technology-wise has been just some major steps for me personally. For some of these guys, it was nothing. It was, you know, maybe infantile. But for me, it was really some major. And I've challenged myself because I realize we've got to reach the next generation. And you say, well, I'll just do that in prayer. What about just learning how to text people and encourage them? What about learning certain things where God can put you in a place where you can put posts out that will really affect people's lives? And I don't even have Facebook, but I'm preaching it in a certain sense. Listen, we're in a generation, I'm sorry, we're not in Grandpa's generation anymore. We're in a new generation, and Paul and Peter and all those guys, though they lived in antiquity, they would have been on the top of cutting edge because Paul would have said, look, TV? Really? Computers? Internet? My God, I'll use this. He'd have probably went to night school to learn how to be, you know, a genius in technology and putting out the gospel to the nations. He would have arrested his own self and said, look, boy, you got to learn something because you got to reach this generation with the gospel of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So only hard work works. Don't set, you know, the New Year's resolutions, and we said that. But listen, everybody say this with me. With knowledge, there is power. Okay, turn with me to two scriptures. Proverbs, if you go to Proverbs, you'll find them, 18 and, let's see, and I think it is in 20. But let's look at, I'll read two scriptures here. One's 18:1, because this is the foundation for with knowledge there's power. And we're going to give you the knowledge of how to jumpstart yourself into 2016. A lot of it you've heard before, but the Holy Spirit wants it reiterated in your hearts today. Proverbs 18:1 says, through a desire, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A man, this is just talking about in verse 1, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So what he's saying there is this, through a desire to be accomplished, which is a goal, which some people would call New Year's resolutions, which the bad part about that is this. Usually those things are done through emotion. And usually those things are done through a resolve of, I'm just fed up with that. Goal set, it's really could be a play on words, but the root of what it means and what it can mean to you makes all the difference in the world. If you out of the top of your head begin to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, if you'll set yourself aside in prayer and listen to the Holy Spirit and let goals be birthed out of prayer, out of contemplation, out of meditation, and then once a desire is set, you have to intermingle or meddleth yourself with all knowledge. In other words, you've got to know, okay, I'm not just going to pray, God, take me there. I want to be in another spiritual place. Where's the spiritual place you want to be next year? Do you want to be hearing His voice like never before? Do you want certain things that have been a stronghold, although you know you're saved, but it's been a stronghold in your life? You want to see those things so gone that even if they're bleeps, you know, every once in a while, that's something that, you know, you have a problem with. It goes from something that was a weekly thing to something that, my God, I can only remember 3 or 4 times or 2 times in this year that I really had that problem. And God has taken me a new place of spirituality. Or maybe it's laying hands on people and seeing the sick recover and saying, my God, I see a track record in 2016 at the end of it like I've never seen before. But to get there, to get to that desired goal, you have to have a plan in place. So you intermeddleth yourself with all knowledge. Well, there's only one knowledge to be had, and that's the Word of God. And there's only one knowledge giver, and that's the Holy Ghost. So was set forth, we'll talk about a plan and that in just a moment, but with knowledge there's power. Everybody say it. With knowledge there's power. Okay, let's look at chapter 20 and let's look at verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Where do you get a better advice than the Word of God? And he says here, all counsel, every counsel, every purpose, that's all your goals, that's all your ambitions, that's everything the Holy Spirit's placing inside of you for 2016 to be prepared for it. It's established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Well, it's not talking about a physical war. He's talking about a spiritual war. A physical war maybe that may be in your body. But the advice that you need is the advice that starts you from the very beginning to make the contemplations that will help you make change. Pastor Dave used to say something that was incredibly shocking to me. He said, look, and he would say it to the entire crowd, but it would go straight in my heart. If you don't do something different starting now, at the end of next year, you're going to be sitting there with the same problems, with the same strongholds, with the same mentality. You'll just be rehearsing over and over. There's only one way to get you out of the box, and that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Did anybody ever hear a lesson around here on praying in other tongues? If you're not filled where you pray in tongues, let me tell you something. At the end of this service, if you come up here, if you're not born again, you need to get born again. In other words, you need to receive eternal life. Secondly, the next thing that you need, the second grace that needs to take place in your life, you need to start an active daily ministry with the Holy Spirit of praying in other tongues. It's vital for you. He then can start you on a journey of truth. What is truth? My word is truth. He can start you on a journey of truth. This journey of truth will become a seedbed, a foundation for your life in which you can launch out of in every area, financially, physically. The prosperity, the bringing in of your children is all based on the promises of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit can do all that for you. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. So the foundation makes everything work. It's the core. It's what helps us to speak defeat spiritual laziness. It's the spark. Now let's talk about the spark for just a moment. Let's just talk about that, okay? And this is what you've heard me say before, and this is, but it's truth. So we're going to repeat it. Here's the spark. It doesn't sound profound. You can miss it. You can say, man, I wish what was the profoundness today? I missed it. Here's the profoundness. The first thing for you to go from where you're at to where you need to go spiritually, and we're talking about the spiritual because the spiritual is the core. Nothing else works unless the spirit is fed first, and unless there's that communion, that vertical communion with God. And then the horizontal works. That's our communion with man, and that's our work, and that's our everything on this earth. But that up there, this vertical, it's got to come first. We've got to have that first. Well, here's the first thing. Most of you know it. A lot of you know it. Here's the profoundness. You've got to make that first appointment for prayer, and you got to keep it. You've got to make, now I'm talking to people that maybe are already on that place of appointment. What are you talking about appointment? In other words, before you leave here today or when you get home or Monday, maybe today's busy, I'll give you that. Maybe you got family, maybe you're going to go out to eat, maybe you're going to. But if you don't already have a place of prayer, what you've got to do is this, to launch, here's your spark. You've got to contemplate and say, okay, I'm going to make an appointment, whether that's in the morning, whether that's at lunchtime, I go out and sit under an oak or sit in an air-conditioned office that is private, or I've got to set an appointment with the Holy Ghost. The first appointment is this, orientation. I'm taking you on ground level, okay? Ground level. On the orientation meeting that you have with the Holy Ghost, what you've got to decide is this. Now, the Holy Ghost is a real person, folks. He's just real. He's God. He's real. When you meet with Him, what you've got to decide is what time of day, and He works with you. He doesn't just give you some frivolous, you know, if you get some weirdness, come see me and we'll rebuke it, okay? But He works with wisdom and He wants you to get your rest. Ask Him what is the best time for you to spend time with God and the Word on a daily basis. Write that down. So I can't hear. I'm not sure if I'm hearing God. Okay, look, we're going to make it real simple for you. Even if you don't think you can hear from God, what feels good best to you? What's the best idea that you can come up with? You'll be surprised that God was the originator of that. I can't hear a voice. I don't know if He's speaking. Well, just come up with your best shot, okay? But don't not do, just don't do anything. Okay? Make the appointment. Ask Him for your future. And, you know, your future is always going to be interrupted with, you know, sometimes with work schedules and crisis and vacations and holidays. But I'm talking about on a normal basis. What's the best time to meet with Him? Then ask Him how long would He like for you. I happen to be in a place where I can spend a lot of my day. Homer's in a place now where he can spend a lot of his day. You're not normally going to be able to match us. That doesn't mean that He loves you less. He's a reality God. It may be that all He says to you is, especially if you haven't been up to this point, He may say 30 minutes. He may say an hour. He may say 2 hours. It will cost you. Sometimes it'll cost you getting up sometimes earlier. Well, I'm sleepy. Well, you wouldn't be as sleepy if you wouldn't go to bed at 11:30 or 12 o'clock watching late stuff. Now listen, I usually am in bed at 10 because I have an appointment. My best prayer time is when it's black outside, the stars are up, and I've got an appointment with God. And that's my prayer time. That doesn't make me better than you. It's just I go to, and so I like to be in bed. At that, sometimes I'll sit up, but if I sit up very late, I suffer the next day from it. I'm groggy talking to God, and I don't like being groggy talking to God. I like to be, you know, real alert. So that's my time, and I know when I'm supposed to get up. Now, ask him, settle when what time of the day you're supposed to be praying. Settle how long, and then settle what kind of prayer that you're supposed to be praying. Well, let me make a tremendous suggestion. Pray, get in the place where you prayed to start with, the foolproof prayer, the one that cannot fail. That's praying in other tongues. Spend a lot of your time praying in other tongues. You say, I don't understand praying in tongues. This service is not to explain all that, but if you'll keep coming back, we'll explain that and you will be filled. Okay? You will be filled and you will pray in other tongues and you'll pray these mysteries. Make the appointment. If you don't make the appointment, you'll never make that spark. Keep the appointment. And then if he tells you an hour, keep that hour a day. If he tells you 2 hours, if he tells you 30 minutes, find out from him also how he'd like you. I'm going to really be merciful here. Let's say it's only 30 minutes, and God would be pleased with that. How does he want you? Ask him, how do you want me to divide this time up? Well, can you pray in tongues? Yes, I can. I've only got a few words. Do you have 2 words? Do you have 1 word? Do you have just 1 word that you can repeat over and over? Repeat that word over and over. Divide the time. Divide it. This is a suggestion, but let the Holy Spirit, if you hear something even more profound, divide the time, at least 15 minutes of that, praying in other tongues. Then go to this, which is the Word of God, okay? Go to the Word of God. Ask with it in your hand or in your lap or holding it in your bosom, ask him to begin to put you into a field. I like fields. I like places where I stay there on a journey. I like rivers. I don't like to sparsely read one place one day and then the other place the next day or whatever. I like to get into a place where it becomes very familiar. I'm in that place. I saw that yesterday. I'm seeing it today. It's an old friend. I recognize that verse. Now it began to polarize inside of me. I get the polarization of it. It begins to, even if it's one chapter, if it's a Psalms 118, you know, it's a beautiful chapter. It's an encouragement. It's God on your side, and you and God together. Y'all are going to make it. If it's that, just read that over and over and over and over for 15 minutes. And let that, you know, begin to polarize inside of you. Let it be a part of who you are. But if you don't make that appointment, this is practical stuff. Doesn't sound real spooky, spiritual at all. But listen, if you don't make that appointment, it's stolen from you right to start with. Where is your appointment? Make that appointment. Make that private place with God. Hallelujah. Am I preaching good enough? Or is the Holy Ghost, I should say. He's the one. Hallelujah. So, thank you, Jesus. The next thing I would say is, as I said, go to the Word of God. This is number two, prayer. Pray in tongues. Number two, pray and begin to go to the Word of God and begin to acquaint yourself and ask Him for the pastures. I said fields a while ago. I call them pastures, places to dwell in, or rivers. It'd be like a river plant, a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're going to be like that tree planted by, if you get into a place, you know, Homer will call me, where you at, Pastor? And I'm so-and-so. Where you at? Well, I've been in so-and-so for the last week, you know. We just let that river flow. Let that river flow. Let that river flow. Let that river, because after a while, you're going to be picking up stuff out of that river. You're going to get nuggets out of that river. You're going to be getting stuff. Listen, if you're a sparse reader, I'd rather you be a sparse reader than no reader at all. In other words, if you pick out scripture here and then you go over there and you're, but I would encourage you, you're going to get further along if you get in pastures and stay in pastures, if you get beside rivers and stay in rivers and let those rivers just flow and flow and flow and flow until you say, man, whoo, I'm really coming familiar with that. The third thing I would encourage you to do is this, create a blueprint for your life. I'm in the process of doing that. I've not completed all that. Create a blueprint. Tim Stemple calls it a blueprint. It's a war manual. Create a war manual. What would I put in my war manual? Go to Walmart, get a little book, a little folder. Put personal prophecies in there. Anything that I've said to you, Pastor Dave, any other man or woman of God that you say, that was a real word of the Lord. I know that was from the Lord. Put that in your war manual. Jot down some of your favorite scriptures. Put that in there. Put your confessions. Type out your confessions. Or, I mean, you know, just put them in your, you know, speak them in. The good thing about it is, even if you're not a typist, you can just speak, and your smartphone will write all that out. Listen, you know, I don't have a smartphone. Okay, that's fine too. Did you know what? Nowadays, the smartphones are just about as cheap as the other ones. The technology has gotten so cheap that you can afford something that'll just sit there and type it for you. So go, this is the time for expansion. Go ask questions. Go see when your, you know, contract ends. I need something more technological so I can go further with God, okay? Put in your war manual your confessions. Put those things that you say on a daily basis. Later on, that will be added to your 30 minutes. You may have to do 10, 10, and 10. But you need to create that spiritual war manual. And your personal journaling. Personal journaling is so, sometimes people say, I can't hear from God. But when they get a pen in their hand, they start writing. The Word says, my heart is as the pen of a ready writer. Sometimes you'll just start writing paragraph after paragraph, and you say, man, this is good stuff. Where's this coming from? Where's this coming from? The Holy Spirit has he's discombobulated your brain, because a lot of times we're trying so hard to hear from God that we're trying too hard. And then when we relax and start writing or start journaling, you can speak it into a phone, you'll start saying stuff like, man, I didn't know I was this smart. I'm pretty smart. I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm a pretty smart girl. And what it is the Holy Ghost anointing you. Put those journals inside your war manual so that you'll have that packet. That's your blueprint for life. That's some stuff that God's going to help you with. He's going to help give you direction. He's going to help give you wisdom. He's going to help you in hard times. When you're really going through tough times, you can go back to that and say, God said this. I journaled this on you know, January the 5th, 2016. I put this in there. We're back in the 19s. No, but put that in there. Everybody say with me, knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
Hallelujah. Knowledge is power. And we just got the word of the Lord from that. Take just a moment. You don't have to stand up, but take just a moment and kind of look around the room, okay? Everybody look up here at Homer, and everybody look at me, and everybody look at all, you know, people around you. Aren't they beautiful? Okay. And they're your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. And everybody get a chance to look. If you can't, you can stand up and look around if you can't see the people in the back. Homer's looking. Hallelujah. How do they look, Homer?
They're dark.
They're dark. Yeah. Excuse me. I wanted you to see people for two reasons. One, we love everybody.
Sure.
Secondly, I want you to look at potential statistics. Do you know every single one of you in here, myself included, is a potential statistic? Just because we're here today, just because you're there, just because I'm preaching the gospel, doesn't mean if I don't always take knowledge, that doesn't mean I'll always be here. You take nothing for granted. If Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:26 said this, if he said, I keep under my body and I bring it under subjection. In other words, I bring the flesh under subjection. Having preached to others that I myself should become a castaway. You are literally, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that just for shock therapy. You are looking at literally maybe potential statistics. A statistic is this, somebody that they were here, they're no longer here. I hope that none of you become a statistic. I hope that all of you are here next year, and I hope that I'm here. I know I'll be here. You'll be here. I'll make a strong. But listen, knowledge is power. If you don't, you got to understand this. One, you must understand this in knowledge. There will always, and always means always, there will always be a war.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever think that there's not ever a war. If you think, boy, I have arrived. If you think I have fasted enough that I'm pretty sure I can coast in. I've got enough word in. You know, I've given enough. You know, I've done enough. If you don't think, well, number one, according to Ephesians chapter 6, there is the enemy of your soul, which is Satan. And all of his hierarchy that works with him on a continual basis. They're going to fight you till the day you die to get you to turn around and go back. Believe me, they are. There's always a war. Secondly, you must understand this. There is always, you are always living in a flesh body, and there's always a war with the flesh. I didn't get many amens, but I believe you were listening. There is always a war with the flesh. So just because you have a hunky-dory, absolute, fall-down, shouting, wonderful time with God today, you better keep up with your homework in the Spirit, because you can always go backwards and not go forward if you don't keep going, if you do not make an effort. You can always go back. I can go back. I've served God by His grace for 45 years nearly, but I can tell you this, I could go back. You got to keep going forward. You got to keep loving God. You got to keep getting up. And you got to keep saying, no, everybody goes through times where they're not as, you know, as hot as they once were as far as, but man, let those lulls be real short-lived. Come out of them real quick. Fight for coming out of them. Get your head on straight real quick, because I can tell you this, you can go back. Listen, a lot of family members, your family members, my family members, in this world, they think that because they've been in church, or they think they have a knowledge of God, they think they're, look at me, quote, I'm putting quotation marks up here, they think they're good. Now, you know what I'm talking about, you know, like, I'm good. Listen, they're not good. They're living in sin. They're living in immorality. They continue that way, they're going to go to hell. And that's just the plain gospel truth. That I don't want them to. I'm not glad about that. But I can tell you this. Just your knowledge of God doesn't save you. You've got to be born again, and you've got to continue to be born again. And God will stay with you for a long time doing a lot of ucky stuff. But then there is a place where the light that's in you goes out. When the light goes in you that goes out, that means that you're dead. You're dead like you were dead before. That means you go to hell if you die. And there are some of our kids, or not my kids, thank God, but there's some kids out there, and there's some, you know, family members and uncles and aunts and aunt this and aunt Joe and or aunt Joe, aunt, Uncle Joe and Aunt Susie and all. They once knew God. And they think they got a ticket to ride. They're in dangerous territory. And I'm not gonna be the one that says that's it, that's left. But don't. Don't think you can party hardy and think you're all right. That is the world mentality, and it has bled over in the church, and it's a fallacy, it's a false doctrine, and it's going to send a lot of once. It's, you know, I hate to say this. This is horrible. There's going to be some once tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled people burning in hell one day. Jesus, I hate this. My God, that's a sobering thought. He said, I don't believe it. Paul said himself, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, if I don't keep this body under subjection, I could go back and I could be a castaway. That word castaway means to become an absolute derelict, a person that's absolutely apostatized from God. That's dangerous. But the sobriety of this, let's switch. Let's put in the positive. Let me tell you something. God is greater than the devil. Amen. A million times, no, there's no times. A billion times, no, there's no times. It's infinite. God is greater. You in God is greater than the devil. You are greater than your flesh, because you're not your flesh. Who are you? You're a spirit-born being, born of God Almighty. and your flesh does not have the right to speak into your life or accuse you or to tell you you're going to have to do this, listen, you can stand up to it and say, I am who I am. Who are you? I am not emotion. I'm not emotion. I'm not depression. I'm not fear. I'm righteousness, peace, and love. I've been created. The Holy Ghost says this, or the Word of God says this, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. That's not the Holy Ghost. Your newborn created spirit in God has a spirit of power. It has a spirit of love, and it thinks with a clear mind. Hallelujah. It thinks with a clear mind. Hallelujah, Miss Barbara. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The war's always there, if you understand that. You won't get depressed when you preach. I'm going to say this, talking about preachers myself. When you preach today, and it feels like you're walking in heavenly places, and tomorrow you hit hell. You realize there's always a war, and it won't go away. But you always realize this: you win if you don't stop. If you sit down and mope and let your bottom lip hit the floor and have a pity party, and just are just so concerned about why people are not more concerned about you, you'll just keep going down in a downward spiral. It's up to you to bring yourself out of it. Did you hear me? Yes. It's up to you to bring yourself out of it. Don't look to anybody else. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Now, how does all this work? Now, this works this. If we went to Mark 4, we don't have time to go to Mark 4 this morning. Jesus talked about how the Word of God comes, and then he talks about how the devil comes. He comes with afflictions and persecutions and cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. He comes with those five things to take the Word of God out. But the maturation, the word maturation, maturing, staying in there of the Word of God is what makes one Christian different from the other. In other words, if the devil can't use any of those five to destroy you with, and you just are tough enough to say, I'm going to keep my appointment. I'm going to get up at this time. I don't feel like it. I feel like I hate people. I feel like I don't like, I feel like I just, I'm not even really encouraged about God. But I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray and I'm going to speak in tongues. And the Holy Ghost hadn't left me in my hard time, even though I feel like I'm in the belly of hell. I'm just going to keep praying. I'm going to keep seeking God. Listen, you'll come out of it. You will come out of it. The Holy Ghost will bring you out of it. God will bring you out of it. Hallelujah. Your spirit is greater than your flesh. We covered that. Not everybody say this again. Knowledge is power. And the one knowledge, as I was just saying, it's if you go to Mark 4, I encourage you all to read that again in the near future. Jesus said, all these things will take and destroy you. But he told the disciples, this is how the kingdom of God works. If you put the seed in, it's the blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. In other words, if you watch corn grow, it's the blade, it's that little sprig that comes out, and then it's the ear that forms. But inside, the last place is where the kernels, the full corn in the ear. And he also coupled that with saying it's 30, 60, it's 100-fold. He ended the chapter by saying it's like a grain of mustard seed. In other words, folks, he said if it's the least of all seeds, but if you plant it and you don't allow it to be pulled up, it will grow. In other words, if you'll do the things that I'm saying this morning or that God is saying, even though when it doesn't look, see, too many people stop when they're in their 10% or 20%. Or in the blade, or in the, or just when the ear, and they say this isn't working because they don't see the fullness of what they're wanting to see, so they'll just stop and they'll go on a spiritual vacation, and they'll get real, you know, they'll stop praying, they'll stop coming to church, they'll stop reading the Word of God. Even Jesus said, "Look, this is how the kingdom of God works," and he said it's like a man who puts seed in the ground. He sleeps on it night and day, and he doesn't even know how. But one day he goes out there and there's a full stalk of corn and a full cornfield. And it's not just stalks And it's not just ears. There's great big kernels of ears. I mean, it's full corn. And he's saying that's how life works. It's line upon line. It's 30, it's 60, it's 100-fold. If you'll keep doing it, knowledge tells you that even when you don't see it working, even when it's not being visible to the eye, it's working. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, we'll continue we'll continue to talk as the week goes on about more and more visions. You know, we need champions. We need you to become a champion. Not just a miracle-working champion. Well, that's for all of us. Mark tells us we can all lay hands on the sick. But we need some financial champions. We really do. We need to see some financial champions that will come. Listen, in the days ahead. Now, I want to tell all of you personally, thank you very much for your giving to this church. Whatever you give, thank you very much. And through the years, we've had some tremendous givers, people that have just given and really helped out tremendously and have made the difference of us going forward, really. Right now, there's very, very little, if any at all, that comes through the internet. That's going to change. In the next 10 years, we're going to see some tremendous expansion. But just to give your mind something to wrap around, because you're ready to expand with me. We need to see some people that become champions in their finances to where they come and say, Pastor, here's a $10,000 check. Here's a $20,000 check. I'm trying to get your mind. Here's a $30,000, here's a $50,000 check. A lot of other ministries have had that happen. We're going to have that happen here. I appreciate every $50, every $100. I appreciate. There's going to come a time where people are going to say, look, I'm making money. I'd like to write the church a check for $50,000, $20,000, $30,000. Hallelujah. Sir. Well, you say, Pastor, it looks like we're here this morning. We're doing okay. You know, what would you do? Listen, we're in a place of expansion. Let me help you understand. What would you do with it, those $30,000, $50,000 checks? Well, number one, we'd just go ahead and completely pay off the mortgage. Amen? Amen. Now, the man that took our mortgage, I appreciate it with all my heart. He's been real good to us, taking very minimal payments, charges no interest. Now, I've got a folder. It's part of my war man. I laid my hands on, and part of it is the amount of the mortgage of the church. And it's okay for me to tell you, look, now if his figures were different than mine, his figures would be right. But I know I keep up, and as of November the 30th, if you come in here with $106,174.44, I'm your best friend. Hallelujah. $106,174.44 as of November the 30th. Hallelujah. Besides for that, we need some cameras back there. And folks, with cameras, that means you have to buy more bandwidth. That means that what we're spending for our internet service, that it's not going to touch it. We need bandwidth. In other words, once you go on video, you're going to have money coming in to supply that extra money. You know, eventually we need employees here to do that. Candy's pretty well maxed out on what she does. I'm not going to do that. Homer's going to do other stuff. But we're eventually going to, any business has to have employees. We're in the business of getting people saved. We need expansions. I'd love to have something next door for Sunday school. What I'm saying is, I'm not putting anybody under any pressure. I'm just saying expand with me in your thinking. We need maintenance on this building. We need a new air conditioner. You can throw a cat through that roof out there. That breezeway, that needs to be repaired. There's a whole lot of stuff in which 30 and 50 and those kinds of $1,000 checks would make a big difference. I'm not going to take it and run off with it. I could have done that a long time ago. I'm an honest man. I love God. And I go to sleep believing that I'm taking just no more than what I can possibly take at this particular time. I'd like a raise in the future, like all of you would. But I'm going to believe. I'm going to confess it in and believe it in just like y'all. Hallelujah. Praise God. The other thing I'd like to give to missions, and I'd like to give other ministries. Wouldn't you like to, from the Family Prayer Center, write some $10,000 checks to Dave Roberson or somebody else or some other missionary? There's some people really that are not even among us in our bunch that are doing a tremendous work on the mission field that love God. And I'd like to write some of those checks. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I'm just going to quit my job and pray. For God's sake, don't do that. Don't do that. We need you. We need you in the workforce. One, listen. There's a mystique that if I've had anything to do with it, I apologize. Prayer is absolutely the core. We just taught that this morning. But there's only a certain amount of us that he wants to be full-time preachers. If you're not a full-time minister, or there are, I do believe that there could be full-time intercessors, but they have already got enough that they're not going to be a problem. In other words, don't quit your job and then come ask the church to pay your light bill. Amen? If you quit your job, then you're on your own. And we'll pray for you. But listen, God wants, he doesn't want everybody becoming a full-time preacher. He wants that a small minority. Why? Because you're salt. You're light. You're supposed to be in there. Tomorrow morning when you go to that place where they're cussing God, and GDing this, and saying that bad, nasty word, and saying all and telling dirty jokes, you're not going to get in there with them, but you're supposed to be there. It's a divine appointment. If he takes you out, who's going to get them saved? I'm salt. We're supposed to be out there employed with sinners in the midst. We're wheat among the tares. I want to go. All I want to do is go pray. I don't want to. No. First of all, we need you making money to do all this stuff we just talked about. The other thing is, you're salt. Don't come out of the world. Listen, he said, you come out and be separate. In other words, you don't run to the bars with them, but work with them. God, you just said God's name in vain. They'll know that you didn't appreciate it, but you don't even have to say anything. They start telling that old nasty joke, just walk away. And when they start talking real mean about the boss and backbiting stuff, you won't say anything. You just say something nice. You're salt. You're light. You're a city set on a hill. The examples are over and over. Salt, light, city set on a hill, wheat among tares. You're supposed to be there. Don't seek to, we're not going to become some like commune where all get together and pray in this nasty world out there. We're supposed to be in the world, out there, in among them.
Lord.
Right in the middle of their bad cussing and stuff. Say, my God, thank you, Lord, you put me right here in the best cussers in the world. Hallelujah. And I just get to praise your name. They're going to hear me singing and worshiping Jesus all day long. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to talk, we'll talk more this week about setting physical goals, financial goals, and a lot of good stuff. How many enjoyed yourself this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which brings us to a point, offering time. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't really just altogether do that for that purpose, but hallelujah. Before you leave here this morning, why don't you consider what the Lord would have you to give. And guys, would you please? Hallelujah. We'll see you Wednesday at 7:30. Thursday at 8:30. Bring something to munch on and something that I can munch on. At the end of it, we will have fellowship, and the last part will be fellowship. If we eat in fellowship to start with, we'll be asleep by the time the New Year's gets here. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. But we'll give plenty of time at the end for fellowship. We'll have at least an hour or more. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to, maybe you've already contemplated what you're going to give this morning. We're going to stand. Marty, can you give us a good song? I guess they're all good songs. Hallelujah. A lot of people are away during the holidays. Rex and Marcia are gone. If some of you have not been seeing Carl, Carl's has gotten a new job and he's in a transition. He'll be back with us on Sundays, but he's in the law enforcement now. And there's a lot of these guys are laughing. Kevin's gone to Texas. He'll be back. And I remember Kevin saying when he first was going to get the job, he said, man, I'm not going to let you pull me over. You know, because if you pull me over, I'm just going to, you know, if you come up to me and he said, man, get back in your car. Just get back in your car. My God. So if you have something this morning, we would certainly appreciate it. Love one another and have a wonderful week. Stand together. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to minister your word, preach your word, teach your word. And we give you all the praise and glory in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this evening. We bless you, or this morning rather. Amen.